Blog Talk Radio.
From the San Francisco Bay Area, it's time for Live from the Bay with Joe. Stay tuned.
Good evening. Hey, everybody. How are you? This is Joey. Welcome to Live from the Bay with Joey. We've got a really great, exciting show for you because joining us will be Jerry Jewell. And she was one of the stars from The Facts of Life, the 80s sitcom. So we're really jazzed, excited to have her. We're excited to have you listening as well. And before we bring her on, there's just a couple things I wanted to talk to you about. I, this morning, got on my computer, as I normally do every single morning, and was looking at some of the news. And, Jamin, I don't know if you do that. Do you ever do that? You just get on your computer and you start looking at stuff other than picking up a newspaper?
Yeah, sometimes I will look at the computer because it's all nice and concise. Everything's
exactly.
Right there. And Yahoo has a pretty good summary of all kinds of events, from local to world. And sometimes I just go right down that list and just scan some of the hot items that are up for that day.
Yep. And me too. I do the same thing. So a couple of things that I noticed just recently, you heard about Hugo Chavez, and that was big news for Latin America, really. As Latin America and the world mourns for him, it's really sad. I mean, I looked at just photos, tons of people in Latin America just sobbing and crying. And it doesn't seem that long ago, I remember a few years back, that he was a very controversial figure. It seemed like either people really liked him or they didn't. So, but nonetheless, it's really sad what did transpire and what happened to him. And then another sad story, you remember back, when was it, the 70s or 80s, help me out here, Jamin, with Mary Tyler Moore show, was that, that's, that was like the late, that was in the 70s, right?
Oh, wow. Yeah, I remember watching it.
Yeah, me too.
I just don't know when it actually first started. I'd have to look that up.
Yeah, I can't even remember, but I do remember one of the characters, Rhoda. Remember her neighbor lived right next door to her and was one of the characters on the show, quite the regular, and her and Mary were best of friends, and she was an attractive woman. Well, unfortunately, Valerie Harper, or Rhoda as we know, the sad thing is that's making the news today is that she's been diagnosed with terminal brain cancer. So, and it was saying something like she has 3 months to live. So that's very sad. We definitely need to keep her in our thoughts and prayers. And then another thing that I just was kind of blown away by was, did you see this thing about this big, the news about this big asteroid that's set to buzz the Earth this weekend?
Yeah, I saw something about that. Boy, interesting.
Yeah, really. I'm thinking, okay, here we go again, because we just had some stuff happening not that long ago, and now this time, this thing, they say, is 330 feet wide. And 330 feet wide, so I don't know how big that is. I don't even have an idea. But that's, I would assume, pretty large. If you see something in the sky headed towards you that's like 330 feet wide, it's like,
yeah.
Whoa, wow, right? And then it says it's going to miss us by about 600,000 miles. So, you know, I'm thinking, okay, thank you very much. I mean, I can't even imagine sitting in the breakfast nook, having breakfast with your family, eating your cream of wheat and your oatmeal, and all of a sudden, You look out and you see this thing headed towards you while you're eating breakfast. I mean, at that point, you're like, okay, bye-bye, cream of wheat and oatmeal. And it's like, holy guacamole. And then, I mean, 330 feet, you know, wide. I mean, that's just huge. Jamin, I don't know. Is that about the same size as like a football field?
Well, yeah, a football field is 100 yards, so that's 300 feet. So this is 30 feet bigger, the diameter, you know.
Yeah.
So it's not just that long. It's also that wide and also that high of its diameter. And as fast as that thing is going and as much as it burns up when it hits the atmosphere and breaks into who knows how many pieces and all that goes on, I mean, I can't even imagine the kind of damage that would cause. And how wide the area, too. I'm just grateful it's not hitting the earth.
Yeah, right. Can you imagine? I mean, that just blows my mind. And we're seeing a lot more, and we're hearing a lot more about stuff like this. I mean, you think about years ago when you and I were really youngsters and stuff, you never heard about stuff like this. And it seems like now this is like, quite the stories that we're hearing, more and more things that are just flying out of the sky and, you know, hitting the earth, and it's just like, whoa. So that's kind of really kind of like you said, I'm just glad it's not going to be touching us here, and it's a good distance, 600,000 miles, so that's thank God for that. So hey, what's going on with you? Did you have a nice weekend and all that? Did you do anything special?
Well, nothing really special. Woke up Saturday morning and getting ready to take a shower and finding out that there was no hot water, so I had to deal with that. And checked out the hot water heater, tried to light the pilot, and it wouldn't light, so I called the manufacturer, and it was still under warranty.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, I know. That was real nice. It doesn't cover labor, but it does cover parts.
Right.
And so they talked me through how to troubleshoot the problem, and it just turned out the pilot assembly I guess was not working, and so this was Saturday morning when we found this out, and they couldn't ship it until Monday, and so we didn't have hot water for the whole weekend until they were going to ship it Monday, so I ended up finding a part at a local plumbing supply here in the South Bay, and was able to find the part and get it and actually install it myself. So I didn't have to pay anybody any labor, and so got the part. And then I'm just working on reimbursement right now from the manufacturer for the warranty. So actually it was pretty good, but, you know, I tell you what, we really take a lot of things for granted, like hot water, electricity. There's a lot of things, and when I didn't have it for a number of days, it was like, I don't like this. And I love camping. I love backpacking.
Oh, come on.
I love doing all that stuff,
it.
You know. And it's just like, I just don't like this. But if I'm out in the woods, you know, it's different. You know, it's like you're expected to
rough it up.
Yeah, to rough it. But at home, you know, come on, you know. So,
right.
But anyway, that was my exciting weekend, and I got that fixed on Monday. By Monday afternoon, it was fixed and just waiting for the water to warm up. So that was my wonderful, exciting weekend.
Yeah. Well, you know, you hit it right on the button. When we take things for granted, and, you know, like when you're out of heat and your heater's not working, you know, that's really pretty traumatic. You have no, you know, like you don't have, like if we're missing gas and electric, we don't have that. We have to deal with that, and that's hard to deal with. And then, you know, when you don't have electricity, you can't turn on your lights. That's frustrating. And then you have to look around for flashlights and get out the candles. Hopefully you won't burn down your house. But, you know, and then light up those candles. And you know, it's funny. I like being, and I've talked to you about this. I even walk. I'll do my walks at night because I like going out in the, you know, in the fresh air and walking, and it's kind of dark out, and you can see the you can see the stars, you can see the moon, all that. I think that's just awesome. But, you know, I don't like that in my house, right? I don't want to see darkness in my house. I want the lights on. So that being said, you know, we do take many things for granted, and that's just the way it is. So I'm glad you got everything set, and everything's cool now, right?
Absolutely.
Well, listen, I also, you know, wanted to just mention really quick that next week we've got, as you know, Jim, and we've got joining us Reba Rambo McGuire. That's going to start next Wednesday, and it'll be part one of a two-part interview. And she was something, wasn't she? Powerful.
Oh, yeah.
She's just powerful, a very innovative woman, very, I would say, insightful, and very wise, and a great singer and a songwriter that will be sharing her heart with us. And folks, you want to stay tuned for that. If you're listening, make sure you just listen in next Wednesday, starting next Wednesday, and it'll be airing, and then you'll be able to pick it up also in the archives. And then also, Jim, and I think live next Tuesday, I will be joining once again with Lodi Cura, that was with us once before, and she's a Psych D. And so that will be an interesting self-reflection type of evening where people will learn certain techniques on how to take care of the soul and visualization, being able to use techniques, meditative techniques, visualization techniques that are really not only insightful but very pointed. And I think you and I have talked about this, Jamin. But you know that I believe that words are very powerful. And when we speak forth words, they can either lift up people or destroy. So we have to be really careful of how we utilize our words. But also, many times when we're utilizing our words in the right way, in a powerful and positive way, there can be great outcomes. So there will be direction on that. So that will be next Tuesday night. So we're kind of really very excited what's coming up, and we've got some more exciting shows in the weeks ahead. And, in fact, coming down the pike at some point is a gentleman that you worked with and helped produce one of his albums, Rich Ayala, who's a great musician. Actually, thank you for sharing that CD with me today. I was able to listen to some of the cuts from that CD, and I think people will be really they'll really enjoy that. So anyway, so we'll look forward to having him join us as well. But let's talk about what's happening here tonight. So did you ever watch The Facts of Life back in the 80s at all?
Yes, I did. And, you know, I was sitting here thinking about it as I was getting ready for the show, and I'm going, but, you know, I just don't have a clear picture of everybody's face and
right.
their character, their personality, and what they brought to the show and how they presented and how they acted. And, you
right.
know, I just don't have it clear.
Yeah, clear.
You know?
And you know why that is, Jamin, right?
What is that, senility or old age or something? Yeah. Yeah,
but anyway, so let's talk about who's joining us tonight. So tonight, from the Facts of Life, we have joining us none other than Jerry Jewell, former star of that 80s sitcom, The Facts of Life. So she will be with us in a few minutes. And before that, let me just give you a quick background on her. You probably remember her best known as Cousin Jerry on the NBC sitcom The Facts of Life. And so she began her career doing stand-up at the Comedy Store in 1978. And then in 1980, she performed at the second annual Media Access Awards. And that's when she was introduced to Norman Lear. and kind of the rest follows suit. So then she's appeared since then on such great shows as The Great Space Coaster, the Emmy Award-winning movie Two of a Kind, Sesame Street, I know that well, right? 21 Jump Street, Young and the Restless, Strong Medicine, and HBO hit series Deadwood. She also co-starred in the independent film Night of the White Pants and was featured on the Fox series Alcatraz. You know, one thing that Jerry is famous for, she has an uncanny ability to captivate the hearts of her audiences by using humor to facilitate change. And you know, I had a chance to talk to her yesterday, and I am telling you, she is a joy. So, you know, her last name suits her well, Jewel suits her well, because I believe she is really a jewel, one of a kind. She's not pretentious. She's very friendly. And she brings to her presentations her personal experiences in life, which allow people to gain insight and into the prospect of seeing disability in a totally different light, creating hope where there is none. So, and Jerry's never forgotten her roots in comedy, and she's appeared on many of the cable comedy shows, including Evening at the Improv on A&E, Stand Up Spotlight on VH1. She has opened for Paul Anka, Robert Goulet, Judy Collins. She's been featured on Entertainment Tonight, East Hollywood True Story, ABC 2020, A&E Biography. And tonight, what's really exciting is Jerry will be sharing with us all about her new autobiography, I'm Walking as Straight as I Can, which received the 2012 Gold Award by the Independent Publishers. So, without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, with us tonight on Live from the Bay with Joey, we have Jerry Jewell. Jerry, are you there?
Yes, I'm right here.
Hey, how are you?
I'm well. I just got done doing a show up here at the Ed Roberts campus.
Ah, so tell me, so are you in, you're in the Bay Area right now?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, do you like, tell us, I mean, you're in Southern California, is your home, right?
Yeah, it is. It is.
So what do you think of the San Francisco Bay Area? Go ahead, tell us.
I love it. I've always loved it. I always had a fantasy that one day I'll end up in Berkeley.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I've always wanted to live in Berkeley, but I never did it. So, you know.
So do you have a chance when you're out here to hang out in Berkeley?
Sometimes, not this time. This is a very short trip in and out, but I'll be back. I love it up here.
Yeah, I'm sure. And we love having you here as well. So, and I'm really interested. I have a lot of questions about your new autobiography. But help us understand some things and help us understand, really, you were really one of the first people with a disability to really captivate Hollywood, were you not?
I was, yes, I was the first person with a visible disability to be cast in a primetime series, and that was on Fact of Life.
That's awesome.
Yeah, before that, you never saw a person with a disability on TV. And if you did, it was always an actor playing someone with a disability. And I think the other groundbreaker in that time was that I was the first person with a disability to tackle comedy. Mm-hmm. Because if you think about it, you know, stories, movies, books, films, whatever, if it was a disability topic, it was always a tragic, somebody overcoming tragic and suffer, and da 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 da. And I said, hey, let's laugh about it.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So basically, you know, I was reading a quote by, well, Norman Lear said something that I thought was really interesting. So he said, quote, I haven't known a more inspirational life and talent, one of the true gems in my career is Jerry Jewell. And if I understand correctly, he really helped you out quite a bit, right? Getting into Hollywood and getting you in front
Norman
of some really...
Lear. Oh, absolutely. Norman Lear is my dear friend and mentor, and he was the one who cast me in Facts of Life originally, yes.
Wow. And then after the Facts of Life, of course, you went on to many other different roles, correct?
Yes, I did.
And then if I understand correctly, all the things that you've done, even currently right now, are you working on something? Is there a webisode that you're part of?
Well, I'm part of a new web series called Child of the 70s.
Oh.
And, yeah, it's a web series, and I play myself.
Is that hard to do?
I know, but it's funny. You know what's fascinating is that when I got back to life, they named me Cousin Jerry, and then years later, decades later, I was cast on Deadwood, and my name was Jewel.
How about that?
So now on the web series, I've combined the two names. I'm playing Jerry Jewel.
Wow. That's pretty amazing, right?
Well, you know, I said, yeah, I'm going to get another series, but I'm going to have to reveal what my middle name is because I'm
okay.
Not going to have a name.
Okay. So tell me, how if people want to tune in to this web series right now, can you tell our listeners how they can do that?
Yes, they have a website, Child of the 70s, www.childofthe70s, and there's a Facebook page also, Twitter. It is Michael Vaccaro's show. He created it, and it's a wonderful, wonderful comedy, and it's very, very funny.
Wow,
and very uplifting.
And so who else is
Oh, there's a lot of people in it. Bruce Valanche, Susan Olsen, let me think of all of them. Who else is in it? Ann Walker's in it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people, a lot of faces that you'll recognize.
That's great. So again, folks, if you want to take a look at this web series with Jerry Jewel, please do go to the website that she had mentioned and stay tuned, right? Just listen. Now, is it when is this every single night, or is it once a week, or when can they?
No, it's probably, we're going into the second season. We're working on developing longer episodes. There's short episodes. You can find it on YouTube.
Oh.
The episodes that have already been done also.
Great.
Yeah.
Wonderful. So I'm really, I'm so happy to have you here, and I know that not only have you just captured the hearts of so many people in Hollywood and wherever you go, but you also have done, you're a motivational speaker. So I know that you've worked with such companies as HP, Hewlett-Packard, Johnson Wax, AT&T. You've also trained government agencies, is that right, like the CIA and the U.S. Army, is that right?
Yes, I do. I have done a lot of training with government agencies in hiring people with disabilities and
mm-hmm.
how to be in compliance with the ADA law.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing. I mean, I think out of all the government agencies, I believe in the late 90s, I don't know what the numbers are today, but at one point in time, there were the highest. They hired the most people with disabilities of all the government agencies with the CIA.
Well, you know, you have a lot going for you. You definitely have come a long way. I know that with a disability that you do have, which is cerebral palsy, is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Last time you looked. you too much. But so I understand this correctly. This was a result of an accident, right, Jerry?
Yes, it was a burst it was a birth defect. I don't like the word defect. That's so negative.
Right.
But, yeah, it was. And my mother was 6 months pregnant with me, and a car had lost control, ran up my parents' front lawn, and my mom ran to escape the tree that she knocked down. And as a result, she fell, and my head was hit, and I was born 3 months premature. But there were a lot of things that happened during my birth. I was taken out of the isolette too soon and turned blue. A nurse gave me pneumonia.
Whoa.
So, yeah, it was like one thing after another. So the way I look at it, I was destined to have CP one way or the other.
You're too much. That's funny. Well, but you know what? I mean, the really amazing thing is hear a story that could have turned out really bad, really ended up so positive, and you've touched so many people's lives, you see? And that in itself is really amazing and a beautiful story, right? And I know that having gone through what you went through, growing up, tell me about the experience in school. Were kids, were they nice? Were they mean? Were they, tell me a little bit about your childhood.
Well, for the most part, you know, I was born in 1956, and I was put into the special ed system, so I really didn't have an opportunity to mainstream or integrate into regular school until high school. And prior to that, I was very isolated, very alienated, and I had friends at school who had disabilities, but as far as knowing kids in my own neighborhood and having friends after school and on weekends, it just really didn't exist. There was one kid named John DeVoe who was protective of me, and when I was bullied, he would actually save me from the bullies. He did that a couple of times and walked me home. So there was fear of children without disabilities because I didn't have any experience to talk to them, to get to know them, and vice versa.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that, let me ask you, let's go back to what you just said. Do you think that that fear was just born out of ignorance, right? I mean, a lot of times people are not familiar with people with disabilities. I guess now, it's a lot better than it used to be years ago. But when people had disabilities years ago, I think a lot of that must have been born out of just people did not know, right? They just didn't know.
Well, of course, fear is always a part of ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, today I would have to honestly say that I believe that the bullying that occurs today is even more vicious than it was when I was a kid.
Is that right? Why is that?
I think because there is no safe haven. There is no safe place. You can't even go into your room and hide from the bullying without turning on the internet and being bullied online.
That's a good point.
And I think it's gotten out of control. Mm-hmm. And I will do everything I can to speak against bullying, to educate kids that if, and even adults bully, but let's talk about kids. If it's adults, they never grew up. And if they're kids, it's, you know, how sad it is that you have to create your self-esteem by putting someone else down.
Absolutely.
And I don't think that's necessary. I think that if kids would have tools to learn and love themselves and respect themselves, they can give that to other people.
Right. Well, and, you know, unfortunately, there's a good, obviously there's a good a part of the tech age that we live in, you know, utilizing computers and how fast information goes from one place to another. There's that positive end. The negative side is that we have now the capability, as you said, to have chat rooms where people actually bully people. They don't like the way somebody looks. They start typing nasty comments about them. And then pretty soon it gets even more, it just gets even more vicious. And at what point do we stop? And then many times I think, well, who sets these lines of perfection anyway? I mean, really, does the media, do newspapers, do magazines? Where does this come from? And quite honestly, I really find it amazing when I see people that are bullying other people and they themselves are not really what anybody would say is, you know, would be perfect, but yet they don't see that, and they find that it's so important to knock down the character of another individual, or how they look, or how they walk, or how they talk, or how they dress, and it blows my mind. And many times I just think, you know, it's really sad because they're missing out, and they're really sad people. At the end of the day, they are really lonely and sad people. Because look at this, Jerry. Those people that might have ever said anything about you, let's imagine where they may be today, and then let's imagine where you are today. You see? That, I guess what I'm getting at is your life has touched so many people and impacted so many people and has helped direct so many people that those people that were ever mean or said anything are probably walking with their heads down, because I guarantee you many of them are not walking like you're walking, you know? They're not. They're not touching the people that you're touching. So I think that it's really great and awesome that you're being used in such a magnificent and mighty way to touch so many lives. I mean, beyond what you can even imagine. And this book, I'm walking as straight as I can. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. But I want to know, we're going to talk a little bit about that book. But for those listeners that want to run and get a copy of this, can you tell me where they can get this this book?
Well, they can get it at any bookstore, Barnes & Noble. They can get it at Amazon.com. They can also, it's downloadable, which I recorded myself in my own voice.
Oh, that's great.
It's downloadable on audio books, and it's coming out in CD very shortly.
Okay.
So it'll be available to everybody. And I'm very proud of the book. It's a book that I put my heart and soul in.
Now, how long did it take to actually write?
It took me a year and a half.
Wow, that's a long time.
The irony of this book is that in 1984, I had an autobiography out called Jerry, which I really wasn't that fond of, and I really had very little to do with the writing part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a ghostwriter. And I was so unhappy with it, and I was bound and determined that one day I would write my own book in my own words, and it would be all my own work, and I wanted to tell the truth. And I wanted to do that. And so in 2009, I made that commitment to sit down and write it. And what's astonishing to me is after it was published, maybe about 5 months ago, I was looking through my storage bin, and I found a plastic box of all these stuff that I had written over the years, you know, tried to sell or started or whatever. And I was going through it, and right in my eyes was a manuscript that I started in 1987 called I'm Walking as Great as I Can.
No kidding. Really? From 1987?
I completely forgot that I had even started it then and then put it away.
Oh, my gosh. How about that?
well, spiritually, it wasn't the right time for it to be written.
Right.
But I never let it go. It was still in me. It was a story that had to come out eventually.
Right. Isn't that amazing? Sometimes when we least expect things, they're right there.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? I mean, I was telling, and I don't want to take away from you, but I just want to share with you a story real quick?
Oh, absolutely.
So about, this is about 2.5-3 years ago. I do music and acting, and I do all that on the side, and then I, as well as I have been in the pharmaceutical industry for years. So I was a hospital rep for a major pharmaceutical company, and I actually left that company, and I had a really nice car, Jerry, that I really liked. You know, they gave it to me to use. It was my car, you know, and I had been using it, and I really, really liked it. And when I left, they said, you have the opportunity, if you want, to buy the car. And then they give you a good price on it. So I thought, okay. So I found out the price of the car. Now,
okay.
Quite honestly, I had enough in my checking account that I could have written a check for, and it wasn't inexpensive. I mean, it was, you know, it was still a lot of money, but I did not want to do that. I thought, nah, I don't want to do that. That's just not being resourceful, and I know that there must be something else. And I was sitting there, and something told me, Joey, look on your desk. And I'm like, what? So I go over to my desk, and I'm not kidding you, Jerry. On my desk was a statement, okay, from a stock brokerage place that I completely forgot that I had a certain amount of stocks. And guess what? Those certain amount of stocks were valued at almost the same amount for that car.
Oh, my God.
So guess what? You know what Joey did? You better believe it. I called him up, and I said, write me a check, baby. Write me a check. And they wrote me a check, and then I paid for that car. But what I'm saying to you is what you hit on just a few minutes ago. Spiritually, it was probably not the right time for that book in 1987, I think it was, to come out. But then years later, you find that book at the right time. And guess what, folks? That book, I'm Walking as Straight as I Can, is available to you right now. Like she said, you can go to Barnes and Nobles. You can order it on Amazon.com. Any place where you can find a book, you're going to be able to find her book. And if you can't find it there, make sure you order it, because it is a great, great book. And see, it came at the right time. And that book in itself is going to be able to touch and reach so many people. So that's really, I mean, that's just beyond awesome. Now, I want to ask you something. I'm going to make you think here. Tell me, let me see if I understand this correctly.
Don't make me think, Joey.
Oh, come on. Okay. So I understand, if I read correctly, was there something, what's this about crashing a cerebral palsy telethon to get television exposure?
Yes, I guess you could call it crashing.
What did you do, and when was it?
Well, it was in 1979, and I had been a comedian maybe for about 4 months of that. Mm-hmm. And I called the Weekend with the Stars telethon that I just saw the advertisement in the TV Guide on Thursday. And so I called them and asked them if I could come on their telethon over the weekend and do comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, you know, we book talent months in advance through agencies.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, but I have cerebral palsy.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, but I thought you just said you were a comedian. And I said, well, can't you do both?
Oh, that's great.
And they told me on the phone that I could not do stand-up comedy on their show because they were all booked for talent, but I could come down to the studio and volunteer my time to answer phones and take pledges.
Uh-huh.
And so I, in my mind, I was thinking, okay, I'm getting closer.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to, but I knew that I was hearing impaired. And if you've ever done work on a telethon, it is, there's so much noise and it's hard to hear on the phone. And I was writing slow and I was going, how am I going to do this?
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't care because I wanted to do stand-up comedy.
Of course.
So anyway, I'm answering phones and people are hanging up on me frustrated because I can't hear how much they want to donate.
Mm-hmm.
And the local MC came over to me and I said, Greg, his name was Greg Malavi. And I said, Greg, I said, you got to help me. This is United Cerebral Palsy. This is a telethon. You're supposed to be helping people with cerebral palsy. I have cerebral palsy, and this isn't helping me. I said, I want to do stand-up comedy. That's what my strength is.
That's great.
And Greg did something that was amazing. He came back to me a few minutes later, and he said, Jerry, we're going to come back from a commercial break from National with John Ritter, and when we come back, I'm supposed to go to another subject, but I am going to go off script, off the teleprompter, and I am going to introduce you.
Hmm.
And nobody knows I'm going to do this, and don't take advantage of me. Don't you dare go over a minute.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he took such a risk, and I kept my promise to him. I told him I would not take advantage of him. I would not go over. And after I did comedy on the telethon, the executive producer came downstairs and he said, I don't know who you are or how you got on my telethon, but
mm-hmm.
you're darn lucky you're funny.
Oh, my gosh. And that's...
So,
uh-huh, go ahead.
Yeah, it was perseverance. It was, you know, it was an I Love Lucy kind of a thing to pull. Remember, I'm going to be in your show, Lucky, no matter what.
Yeah.
So it was definitely pulling a Lucy.
Yeah, pulling a Lucy. Now, tell me that you didn't have that T-shirt on that you had on the Facts of Life. Now, I remember that. What did it say? I don't have... What does it say?
I don't have cerebral palsy. I'm drunk. And I and
oh,
I
my gosh. I remember
that T-shirt. And ironically, even when I wore it on the telethon that time, and I wish I had a copy of it, but they don't keep those telethons and archives. But that night and all the times before Fact of Life, I wore that T-shirt. One that I had made. And in all that time, I didn't even know how to spell cerebral palsy. I mean, I had it my whole life, and I didn't know how to spell it.
Mm-hmm.
It was spelled wrong until Facts of Life used it, and Wardrobe mm-hmm. gave me a T-shirt with cerebral palsy spelled correctly.
So now you pronounce it cerebral palsy. Is that correct?
Yes, cerebral, whatever.
It's just the same thing. Yeah.
I don't care.
But you know that I remember that little short from the Facts of Life when you came on there. That really seemed like it really kind of was like an icebreaker. Not necessarily. I mean, obviously the actors knew, but I'm saying, you know, for a lot of America, I think that really helped kind of lighten the load, so to speak, a little bit, you know? And
you know, that was such an amazing thing to happen. And I didn't even realize the full scope of the impact until years later.
Right.
And even in the 90s, when I was doing a lot of college campuses, and these are kids that grew up on the show at the time, and people would come up to me, students would come up to me and say, oh, my God, Jerry, You saved my life. I was suicidal in high school, and people were making fun of me and bullying me. And then I saw you on Facts of Life, and you changed my life. I was like, oh, my God. I mean, that was the higher power working through me, because I had no idea the impact that I was making.
Absolutely. And that's really what I notice, because I do a lot of research into the guests that I have on, and that's one thing that that really struck me, is this lady is not only just, you know, a magnificent talent, but she's being utilized on a grand scale, you know. And really, at the end of the day, when we leave this planet, that's really what it's all about, you know, is reaching people, touching people. That's what it's about, you know. If we can lay down our damn prejudice attitudes that we have on a daily basis for anybody and their handicap or whatever the case may be, and just see them for who they are and what they bring and what they can speak into your life, we'd be a better world. You know, we really, truly, that's my opinion. That's what I believe in. And that being said, you have really, I mean, your story has gone, you've also been, it's taken you to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Is that correct?
Yes.
And we all know what 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue is. I think most of us do.
I've been there three times now.
Three times?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Really?
Yeah,
so tell me about that.
Well, the first time was in high school. And I was a student growing up in Fullerton, California, went to Troy High School.
Right.
And 56 students with disabilities saved money and raised money to go to Washington, D.C. to meet President Nixon in 1973. So that was my first time. And then in 1985, I spoke at the White House during the Reagan administration. And that was an amazing event. And then recently I was at the White House in the Obama administration on a panel with the Push Girls on people with disabilities in the media and how far it's come, where we've been, and where we're going to go with it. So it's been pretty amazing. It really has.
Yeah, and that's, you know, I've been to D.C., and I was really quite amazed at it, but we didn't have a chance to go to the White House or, you know, see any of the things that a lot of people do in D.C. I was there for a meeting, and we were staying in a very, very nice hotel, and I got to go to Georgetown and blah, blah, blah. But I understand that the White House is not really quite white. It's kind of like an off-white. Is that right?
Yeah, that's true, except it does look white at night. They really light it up.
Oh, and somebody told me that, and I'm like, come on, it's white. I mean, why do you think it's called the White House? They're like, Joey, it's not white. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, really? What a bummer. All this time in my mind I was thinking the White House is white. But what a real, true honor and blessing to have the opportunity to do that. And you've met so many talented people, and you've met, like again, that quote from Norman Lear was wonderful, and I've seen on some of your promotional on some of the promotional material on you, pictures with Nancy Reagan and with Patty Duke, and so the list goes on and on of some of the really wonderful and famous people that you have known. And I know that you've had also within that, and this is all in the book, folks, so you need to really make sure you get a copy of this book, I'm Walking As Straight As I Can. And we're not going to tell you everything that's in the book, because then you wouldn't go and get the book. So
But
I know that you've gone through a lot of stuff. And I think in the book, you're going to, they'll understand why you dedicated three blank pages to your ex-husband?
Yes.
Is that right?
I did.
Okay. Okay. But will they find out why?
Yes, they will.
Okay.
Because I explained it in the next chapter.
Okay. Okay. So folks, you'll find out why. So, and you know, the really great thing here is that no matter where you go, and no matter, you know, even if you just touch one life, that is a life that you would have never been able to touch, you know, before. So a lot of times, you know, many people think, oh, success comes from being on a national sitcom or talking to 100,000 people. Not necessarily. But you've had that success, and yet on a daily basis, you're able to reach other people, and you do it with this disability, with your wonderful story. And, I mean, I think it is absolutely awesome. And it's very, for me at least, it's very inspirational. Very inspirational. So, again, let me ask you something, Jerry. If anybody is interested in, you know, scheduling you for a future date, or if they want to get in touch with you direct, can you let us know how they can do that?
Well, they can get a hold of my my website is under construction right now, but Damon Brooks and Associates books me.
Okay.
And you want to speak with Mark Goldman at Damon Brooks, and he has a website online of all his speakers, and I'm one of them.
Great. Now, where are they out of?
He's in Southern California.
Okay, and give me the first and last name again.
Damon Brooks, DamonBrooks.
Perfect.
And Associates.
Perfect.
And you'll be able to find them.
Perfect. And then your actual website will be up eventually, right? It's just being worked on now.
It's up. It's just under construction right now. I'm working with a web designer who's trying to fix the glitches in it.
Okay. And then again, give us the web series that you're in again so people can
Child
write.
Child of the 70s.
Child of the 70s.
Yes, and you can find that on YouTube and Facebook and Twitter. And look for Michael Vaccaro because it's his show, and I'm sure he has many links to it.
Okay.
I also have a Facebook page, and I have a Twitter account, and I also, which goes by my name, so I'm easy to find.
Yeah, in fact,
And I'm walking as straight as I can Facebook page also.
Okay, so, great. I think I just linked into you on Twitter, so folks, it's really easy. So, Jerry Jewell. So, Jerry, tell me, before we close here tonight, tell me what some things that, do you have some things coming up, or are you going to be speaking anywhere soon? And
well, I'm actually working on my one-woman show, which is based on the book.
Oh.
I'm walking as straight as I can. I'm bringing it to the stage, and I hopefully will have that up and running by July is my target date.
Oh, that's
and
great.
I'm working on that, and we're going to debut that in L.A. and see how the reviews go. And I'm auditioning for roles, waiting to hear back, and I'm always on the road speaking and working on the web series, Child of the 70s. So my plate is full. I'm out there keeping it alive and doing the best I can every day.
That's awesome. And, you know, please keep in touch with us, and I'll keep in touch with Arlen. And then in the future, you know, we'd love to, you know, just keep updated. And maybe when you're in the Bay Area again, you can drop on by. And it's absolutely been a pleasure having you here.
Oh, thank you.
And I don't know if you have any closing comments or if you want to say anything to any of the listeners tonight, but there's going to be thousands of people listening. So do you have any closing comments that you might want to make?
The only thing I want to say is believe in yourself always, regardless of what other people believe about you, because the belief of yourself is going to be the thing that's going to carry you in life. And just go after your dreams and try not to be so afraid of failure, because there really, in the essence of life, there really is no failure as much as there is setback and learning experience to grow and allow us to do something even greater down the line.
Absolutely. That is so true. So, Jerry, on behalf of us here at Live from the Bay, I would just like to once again thank you for being with us. We've loved having you here. And again, when you're back in the Bay Area, we're going to keep finding out more things about you as the months and the years progress, so I want you to keep us updated, okay?
I will. Thank you, Joey. Thank you for having me on tonight.
Thank you so much, and blessings to you, okay?
Likewise.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
And goodbye, Jerry Jewell. We were so blessed having you here tonight with us on Live from the Bay with Joey. And again, folks, if you're interested in having Jerry Jewell out for an event, out to speak, even for a night of comedy, you can reach her through Damon Brooks and Associates, or go to damonbrooks.com. Their phone number is 805-604-9017. Again, 805-604-9017. And again, Jerry's working on a one-woman stage. Hopefully, this is based on her book, Walking As Straight As I Can. And like she said, she's hoping to complete that by July, and then they're going to start the production down in L.A. and see how it goes. Hopefully, it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful. They're going to have great success with all the reviews, and she can take it all around the U.S. So, and if she does that, I would love to go see that. Again, she's working on her web series, Child of the 70s. Now, you can take a look at some of those past episodes on YouTube, so you might want to look at that. Remember, she has a Facebook account. She has a personal Facebook account, and when it's associated with a book. And then, let's see what else. Her personal website, jerryjewell.com. She can also be reached via Twitter. Okay, remember she was talking about that. So, again, do your best to get to your bookstore and get her book, all right? Join us next week as well because we're going to have a great week. Starting off next Tuesday, I'm actually doing another show, part two of a show that I did with Lodi Cura. So this is really an insightful show, a spiritual show. It gives you insight. It gives you techniques for meditation, for visualization. So Lodi will be sharing with us on that. I will also be sharing some parts of some techniques that I utilize in visualization and speaking forth spoken words, speaking forth things into existence, which, you know, it sounds a little bit out there, but really, quite honestly, it's not. You know, you really got to take a listen to this show on Tuesday night at 8 p.m. and then joining us on Wednesday night all the way from Nashville, Tennessee is none other than Grammy and Dove Award winning singer-songwriter Reba Rambo McGuire, all the way from Nashville, Tennessee. Now, well, she doesn't talk like that. I do. But we had a really great time with her. There's going to be two parts of that interview. And again, you'll be able to hear it starting on Wednesday evening, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And then you can still listen to it on demand as needed, as you want to hear it. And then the following week, starting that following Wednesday, it will be part two of that interview with Reba. We have some really great guests coming forth in the weeks and months ahead, so stay tuned. You can normally find us here 8 p.m. on Wednesdays, Pacific Standard Time. On behalf of us here at Live from the Bay with Joey, on behalf of Jammin as well, we thank you for joining us. We look forward to seeing you, talking to you, hearing from you next week. Make sure, remember, folks, if you're calling on Tuesday night with the show with Lodi, if you have a question for her or I, make sure you call in that number. Make sure you call it as soon as you can. All right? All right. You take care. Have a great week. Bye-bye.